Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name's Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, April 6, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 28, the fifth paragraph. In the following chapter, there appears an explanation through one paragraph ending, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, F. The readers of the text, Alex G., Penny L. C., and Michelle A. C. The reference number for Sunday, April 5th, is 23,342. That's 23342. And for this morning, Monday, April 6th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,343. That's 23343. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Anne SCH, and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is, the people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P., and these are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I'll now ask Kate F. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the chance to serve.
Thank you so much, Kate F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book and we're on page 28, the fifth paragraph. In the following chapter, there appears an explanation through one paragraph ending, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Alice G. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning. Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. Grateful to be here. In the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it, then a chapter addressed to the agnostic. Many who were once in this class are among our members. Surprisingly enough, we find such convictions no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. What that says to me is, more will be revealed in these next chapters. And we've already learned something about Bill's spiritual experience, the appendix on spiritual experience, and it's all about change. I come in here and I see other people who are abstinent and living a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I want what they have. And I believe that they have a solution. And so I'm willing to follow in their footsteps, to set aside what I think I know about food addiction, about myself, about the 12 steps, and about recovery, and just take their hand and walk the path and follow directions And it can be as simple as that. And in the appendix to spiritual experiences, it talks about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. That's how it works, right? But who is that? Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. We can switch the letters around and say who is helping us. And it doesn't have to be any particular spiritual entity. It doesn't have to be Buddha. It doesn't have to be Yahweh or Jesus or anything that I think I know about and don't want. It can be whatever I need it to be. And we are going to achieve some joy in living because of that. We're going to have neutrality with the food it's promised us and have a spiritual experience as a result of the steps and be able to walk in freedom. We don't have to walk in bondage anymore or in that self-imposed prison of self-will and self-reliance and fear. We can walk with God and or whatever we want it to be, you know. I guess that's what I'm kind of focusing on here. And, you know, some of the promises in Bill's story, he talks about how there's joy in living today and making many friends and the fellowship growing up around him and having a feeling of being a part of instead of apart from. We have joy in living even under pressure and difficulty. And today I can say that sorrow and suffering were my companions and they've taught me a lot. And they can still do that if I'm willing to look at things as an opportunity for growth. And because you guys are here with me walking this path and sharing your experience, strength, and hope, I can find that hope and that willingness and a higher power that I choose to call God. And I hope sticks around for the miracle. So I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Alice G., for getting us started. Beautiful way to start this meeting off. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share with us on this paragraph?
Michelle A.C. in Colorado.
Michelle A.C.
K.S.
Melanie C. Idaho.
Was that K.S.?
Yes, in Iowa.
Okay, K.S. in Iowa. And then who is after
K?
Okay, Lori C. Okay.
In Colorado.
Melanie C. Okay, I have Michelle, A.C., K.S., Melanie C., Lori C., and who did I miss in there? Okay, anyone else?
Sherry H.M., Washington.
Sherry H.M.
Deborah G., Arizona.
Deborah G., and we'll go ahead and stop there. Beautiful lineup. Okay, Michelle A.C., please get us started, followed by K.S.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Michelle A.C. in Colorado, gratefully recovered. And I have been thinking about this paragraph since I glanced at it on Friday when we read the paragraph before. And it's been bouncing around in my head because that line about being agnostic, not in any way getting in the way of having a spiritual experience, started me off down a path of things I don't have to do in OA because my higher power will take care of it, as long as I do not develop contempt prior to investigation. So I don't have to believe in a higher power when I get here. That one's in the paragraph. But then I started thinking, like, I don't have to like the things my sponsor suggests that I do, but it would be great if I tried them out and my higher power will take care of the outcome. And then that led to, like, oh, I have a sponsee who's making amends. You don't have to be super excited to make amends in order for you and the other person to get all this healing from doing that. Higher power takes care of that too. And then I started thinking like, no, when I started out being abstinent, I did not like or enjoy being abstinent, but I gave it up and I surrendered it to my higher power, and my higher power took care of that. And I've been abstinent, you know, through no effort of my own, but willingness. And so there are all these things in program that are just about willingness for me. I don't have to even like people sometimes to interact with them with love and tolerance, because love and tolerance is the code my higher power wants. I don't have to want to put the tip of dishes out of the dishwasher. I could go on and on. And it made me really excited that like all of these places are places that I don't have to do anything but be willing. And it reminded me that then in the pockets where I'm still agnostic and I had kind of a week of fear, that it got taken care of by my higher power, because I worked the program and I did 10 steps and I prayed a lot and I, you know, I did the work, even though I didn't think it was ever going to go away, and it did. And like my higher power provided a miracle for me this week where I was able to handle fear and a scary conversation with love and tolerance, which is all that was necessary. And I just, I kind of can't believe that the underlying system behind the program really is, could you possibly just be willing to try it? And in so doing, give things over to your higher power. And that's really, for me, kind of the magic of the whole thing. So, yeah, I just had to get that out because it's been in there since Friday. And thanks for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle A.C., K.S., it's your turn to share, followed by Melanie C.
Hi, I just had to unmute. Thank you so much. Thanks for all your service of everybody that is so good about getting these meetings on the phone. So I'm going to start with the first line about appears in the explanation of alcohol as we understand it. And one of the things that I have so appreciated about listening to other people is I didn't even know. It's more, I mean, certainly there's the behaviors of compulsive eating, but there's also the thinking and other behaviors that I didn't even know were kind of like off kilter or contributing to my dilemma. And so hearing people's stories, you know, if you've lived a certain way your whole life, you go, oh, you just accept it. And so hearing people's stories really does help me, and reading it in, about in the book. The second is the agnostic, which I think is so interesting. I was born in a very organized religion. I mean, the uniforms and the, my whole educational career, lots of traditions, lots of rules, and we used to even laugh about it, you know, amongst ourselves. But when I got here, it's so funny that the spiritual experience was so different. It was really not giving me a bunch of rules. It was saying, we need to build a relationship because you're going to need some help here that's maybe bigger than yourself. It was never really put to me like that. And so in some ways, I felt like mine wasn't agnostic. It was putting aside a bunch of stuff to really say, when you get here, it's kind of like, we're going to talk about the stuff that really can't be measured. So kind of like the wind, and like the more I surrender, I'm like a feather and it lifts me up. And the more I try to control it, it's like a branch that won't bend and it breaks. And so, you know, I couldn't see it, I couldn't describe it, but I sure could feel it. And it was so different than before when they were saying, well, this is what it'll look like and this is what you do to show that you are. And, you know, it was just very, I don't know how to explain it, more visual and less spiritual. And I'm just so appreciative of that, because the personal relationship with my higher power and also with other people, it taught me just intimacy, knowing myself, just all you want to know is about me, the real me, not my accomplishments or where I live or how much money I make. It was all this real, I don't know, just really down to earth stuff. And so, and I had to get there to improve. I mean, you are not going to fake that. You can look, what do they say? Just because you're in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. You know, it's like, you're going to have to live this thing if it's really going to work for you. So anyway, I just really appreciate that. And not only was it not an obstacle, it was actually just
time.
A learning experience. Okay, that's all I got. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, KS from Iowa. Melanie C., it's your turn to share, followed by Lori C.
Hi, Don. Melanie C. here from Idaho. Hi, everyone. I wanted to share on this because I feel like I just had, if it matches, you all will have to figure this out or not, but a conversation in my writing and my speaking with my higher power, which is always expanding from what I felt like was just a difficult growth, a rebirthing with this higher power business. I wanted to know what being an addict had to do with needing a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity. And what we're talking about here, this obstacle to a spiritual experience and why I needed that. And not that I was just curious. Of course, I'm building that way and have for a very long time and have it in my heart. Yet I was always liking the details of how come Susie Q next door that doesn't have an addiction, she can choose whether or not she's going to be living a spiritual life. She just wants to be a good person. How come? How come this is the deal? And it sounds like and looks like it is the deal because it's worked for someone like me, a gal like me, that was struggling for 50 years before I had a first abstinent day. And what it turns out, I think mostly, is that the process anyway is that I came to the steps, I came to believe, but what I came to believe over a good period of time after being abstinent, that I was an addict. It took that long for my head to clear. I wasn't even looking at a power greater than myself. And that was a couple of years in here and studied about being an addict, learned about being an addict. And then I came to find out that my way of thinking, my brain being a little bit off center, different than that of an average person, genetically, for me anyway, was the way in which I looked and approached life. And I would build a parallel life through the steps by a power greater than that, than my mind that was a little off center. I would need that kind of help for clarity. And I look at this as a trilogy triage. It's myself, it's this fellowship that I lean into, and a power greater than myself. And that spiritual thing that restored my soul to stop doing the things that were causing me harm and harm to other people, and sometimes legal issues, would be in line with my moral code, which is a spiritual experience, an absolute spiritual experience of a mystical, magical nature. And I felt, put those two together and thought, my goodness, this is what it is. And I was able to, even after these years, surrender more. How much more? I'm looking at continuing to, that it would be a complete, that'll be probably until the day I die. Yet I do get this idea that I want to know how my day is going to go based on this power greater than myself, that I am here as a servant, to be of service and self-sacrifice, to balance out that piece of me that is completely protective of my self-centeredness because of the way that I was harmed. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Don.
Oh, thank you, Melanie C. from Idaho. Lori C., it's your turn to share, followed by Sherry H.M.
Good morning. This is Lori C. in Colorado. When I read this, what it tells me is that I can be accepted even if I have doubts about the existence of a higher power. I was raised without religion. I've always wanted to believe. I've always wanted to have a spiritual life. And this reading says to me, if you have doubts about even the existence of God, don't worry about it. Just come on in. And what I've experienced is a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps. And to me, it's been all about, there's a lot to do, and a lot of work to do, but it doesn't matter what you believe when you come in. You may believe something really strongly and maybe that changes. Or maybe you come in like me and you have no belief in religion. In fact, I was told that's a fairy tale. And then you develop this deep spiritual belief that is the power that you lack right now. So that's really all I have for today, but I just wanted to say thanks for your service, Dawn. Welcome, newcomers. You're in the right place if you have problems with food. Thank you.
Lori. Oh, thank you, Lori C. from Colorado. Okay. Sherry H.M., it's your turn to share, followed by Deborah G., and then I'll be taking some more names. Just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 28 today, that fifth paragraph, starting with, in the following chapter, there appears an explanation through one paragraph ending, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. We're commenting on that one paragraph today. So Sherry H.M., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. I'm calling from Washington State. This is, it's Sherry with a C. Oh, wow. This is so powerful because I had tried everything, you know, to get the weight off, keep the weight off, this and that. And many of us have, you know, been on that Groundhog movie. And that was me. And so finally, I met with a friend from, I went to Al-Anon for actually, I don't know, 20-something years. And she had, I knew, lost like weight and kept it off. And I thought, wow, I never heard of people hardly keeping the thing off, right? Because it comes to bite us in the tail again, at least it did with me, and more weight than what I lost. So after we met and that was at a Starbucks, and I was drinking my favorite, you know, sugary drink at the time. Anyway, and I just left, and I just said, oh, God, I can't do this. I just can't. And that's the whole point here. It's a beautiful gift of desperation because I can't do it. But, you know, our higher power, for me, it's God, can do it. And so another miracle happened yesterday. You know, that's usually a day for a lot of us with like tons of food and this and that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I didn't have any urge for that. None. I don't even care about it anymore. That is a miracle because God released me. I don't think about that anymore. And I never thought it could happen to me because I can't do it. And that was the gift to me of, you know what? I can't. I give up. You're going to have to help me, God. So anyway, have courage. Keep on keeping on because they're going to talk about the steps soon. And if you're feeling like, oh, I'll never get this. So I pass and thank you all for your service. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Deborah G., it's your turn to share.
Oh, thank you so much, Dawn, for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us today, and I'm so grateful to hear all of the shares that continue to give me hope because of people that have had a spiritual experience and they share that on these meetings. It's just beautiful how I can get connected in just by listening to other people. And I can continue to be reminded and remembered when I went through and when I take others through and how I learned. I like the chapter appears an explanation of alcoholism, how I was able to get educated because I didn't have any education, only my own world, disease thinking world was I educated with over and over. And when I went through these beautiful 12 steps and continue to take others through, I continue to get educated over and over and reminded, because I still have that disease thinking, you know, that has not gone away. I'm not healed from that. And so I have to keep treating it. And then I was able to also and understand what was going on. I had no clue what was going on, that mental twist. And I started to get more of an idea of what was happening with my thinking and with the food and, you know, the foods that I was still putting in my body and continuing to perpetuate this thing going and going over and over because of the phenomenon of craving. And then the chapter addressed to the agnostic, I was able to learn about the areas of my agnosticism that were keeping me, again, from this spiritual experience, keeping me from a spiritual connection with power, you know, a partnership with power, because I have no power. I never will have power, ever. And if I think I will, then manageability, you know, will continue with the food. But when I focus on being with this intention of living this way, being with all of you today on this meeting and listening and learning, I'm just so grateful for all of you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope you all have a beautiful, blessed day today.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Well, I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
Christina. Austin.
Was there a Christina? Okay, very yes. Good. Christina. Christina J., and I'm having a little problem hearing the person who just said their name.
Doreen M.
Doreen M., okay.
Allison B.
Allison B. Who else would like to share? Christina J., Doreen M., Allison B. Who else?
Kate F.
Kate F. Okay. All right. We'll go with that lineup. I have Christina J., Doreen M., Allison B., and Kate F. Please, Christina, go ahead and share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in Washington State. What great shares. You know, I don't know. What chance do I have if I don't come to these rooms? I tried everything out there. I kept coming back, but I had no answer anywhere. And it took me so long to get this. I wasn't agnostic, but I'll tell you what my problem was. I was separated. I was separated from the God that I believed in since I was born out of the womb, because that God helped save me when I would pray to him and feel him in my heart. But in my young years, I learned about control to get what I want. And then I lived in angst and fear and jealousy and pride and insecurity, all driven by that fear. And these were the obstacles. These were the obstacles. So being separated is not an obstacle. It isn't, because if we keep coming back and doing this work, all those things dissolve. As we do the 4 through 9 work, as we do all the steps, really. A spiritual experience for me is a personal connection, a precious friend, all loving in my heart. In 2020, I had my heart open. Now, my first husband touched my heart years and years ago. He's pressing on my heart chakra. And it was like something exploded, and I wept and I wept and I wept. It was like he opened the door just by touching my heart, because I was in pain about leaving a relationship. Now, that got closed up again until 2020, when I was sitting in meditation, and I began to just breathe in and out of that heart center. And I began to cultivate and forge a relationship with this presence. Now, it took until recently, August of 25, actually, to really begin to walk in that. And with all the spiritual teachings I seek out in this book and everything I do, that personal connection continues to deepen and deepen and deepen. That's my spiritual experience. So there's no obstacle to any of us coming in. We just have to figure out what our obstacles are that are keeping us from, you know, finding that spiritual experience. And each one of us will have a different journey. We all do the steps, but we all have stuff. It's all the same, but slightly different. And God has a way of working with us to unveil all that and to slowly move it out of the way till we want this. We need it because we know it's going to get us to recovery, but we want it. And we will be willing to do anything to keep it. And, you know, for a long time, it was I did anything to stay out of relapse. It didn't always work. But when I started wanting God more than I wanted anything, even to put the food down, when I wanted God more than anything, that became my foundation.
Time.
To all else being, thank you, Dawn, to all else being stripped away. And the beautiful thing is I'm human and I still have all these sort of obstacles. They're really smaller, but I get to do the work every day to have them swept away by this precious friend. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Christine J. from Washington. Doreen N., it's your turn to share, followed by Allison B. Star 1, Doreen. Oh. Did to step away. Allison B., please unmute and share with us, and we'll come back to Doreen.
Hi, Allison B., compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service today. For me, I have to look, I'm actually in this chapter with my sponsor, and I look at there is a solution, and as I'm reading it with her, I'm like, where? Where is the solution? Why would they title a chapter, there is a solution, and then not spell out the solution? They keep talking about other things. Until I realized the things that they were talking about, even in this paragraph, in the following chapter, there appears an explanation of alcoholism as we understand it. The chapter addressed to the agnostic. And I feel like it's a perfect speaking to me, who in this era of my life of control wants to know what's next. And they're speaking right to me. They're saying, hey, hold on. There is a solution and we're going to keep on. For me, I have this feeling of, oh my gosh, how they're describing my life seems so hopeless, and they're describing it so perfectly. But I look up at the chapter, and just the name of the chapter gives me hope and tells me to keep going forward, that there is a solution. And then they speak to me as the addict and say, hey, this is what else is going to be coming up next for you, okay? I know that we've stripped away your power, and we're asking you to come into a place and start to own your powerlessness, but I'm also going to give you something a little bit. I'm going to tell you what's coming up next. We're going to talk about alcoholism. We're going to get into the details. We're going to also talk about those moments, diagnostics. We're going to cover all the bases. So just stay with us and be here. And at the end, there will be a solution if you take these steps and listen and give over that power and start a relationship, a better relationship with power. And that's what I have to say. And on that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Allison B. Doreen N., are you back on the line? Star 1 to unmute. Okay, we'll go on with Kate F. Please share with us, Kate, and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Kate F. Good morning, everyone. I'm from Washington State. This paragraph just speaks one word to me, invitation. It's given me the big picture in this, as we've been reading about the spiritual experience, this is where we're heading toward. And then they break down this invitation into manageable steps. And this is how we're going to walk it together, slowly but surely, every single step of the way. And if there's any obstacles at all, it's me who's going to be making them. And even those will be held by God, by this fellowship, by my practice, so that I can keep seeing the way clear on this path. The invitation to be the me that God intends me to be by following the steps that are coming up, the explanation of the steps, and to keep accepting this kind of outstretched, beautiful invitation to stay with us, and let's keep walking this together. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kate F. from Washington. Well, we're talking about page 28, that fifth paragraph that starts with, in the following chapter, there appears an explanation through one paragraph ending, no great obstacle to a spiritual experience. So I would like to take a couple names of people who haven't shared in the last couple days.
Doreen N.
Okay, Doreen N. And who else would like to share?
Hiya P.
Hiya P. Okay, very good. Doreen N., please go ahead and share with us and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Doreen N. from Texas.
Very good. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. You know, I've been around since 95, and I've been in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. But I always come back. Always come back because there's no other answer. God is the solution. I have problems. My life is getting lifey, and I have to look to my higher power for every freaking single decision, because counting on me, I'm bound to make mistakes. And so I know that there is a power greater than me that is going to answer all my questions, solve all my problems. And when all else fails, I have a God box. I put the problem down on paper. And every time it comes up, I just keep putting it in that God box. And then sure enough, a few months later, oh my God, this has been resolved because I gave it to God. And I'm not in charge. He's in charge. He's my master. He's my hero. And God will help me with this. All I have to do is work the steps, and the weight will be taken care of. Sometimes I doubt about that. I'm like, how can these steps take care of my weight? But it has in the past, and I'm 14 days out from a relapse. But I do know that if I pray, and I had to pray in the bakery because I do sampling, but I prayed and everything, I wanted everything. And I was just praying. And I made it through another abstinent day and talked to my sponsor at the end of the day and went to a meeting. And so I'm really, really grateful that this program exists. And I'm very new to Vision. And it's as fabulous as everybody says it is. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Doreen N. from Texas. So lovely to have you with us. Hiya P., it's your turn to share.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Hiya P., very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic restrictor in Colorado, soon to be New Jersey. You know, I love this topic because I share pretty much every time I speak, I say I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God. So if anybody is kind of like freaked out by the whole God talk, as this paragraph is letting us know, this is not a deterrent. This should not be a deterrent because this is not a religious program, it's a spiritual program. It's just meaning that there's something greater than me, whatever that is, and we can start anywhere. I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God, but I came back in because I had nowhere else to go. I was not looking for a spiritual experience when I came here. That was not what I was looking for. But I'm actually really glad that that's the solution. And I was able to start at the willingness to believe that it was possible that there might be something greater than me that could help me. And that has blossomed and flourished over the years through the steps.
And so if you're, you know, struggling with it, you know, there is the hoop is a lot wider than we think, as the 12 and 12, the book, the 12 and 12 talks about. I'm just so grateful that there's a way out. There is a solution. We have a solution. It's called Step 12 and carrying the message to others, which I hope I'm doing in some small way right now, and practicing the principles in my affairs of honesty and getting out of self and being there for others and trying to live with integrity. And this 12 steps taught me how to do that. And I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful for that. I'm with a lot of family. Most of my kids are here. I've been having a lot of family time, and it's just really been a gift. The 12 steps have been a tremendous gift for me, as well as some really good outside help, specific outside help that was really able to help make that bridge so I could truly apply what I learned here. So I'm grateful to be here. Thanks so much.
Ah, thank you, Haya P. from Colorado. Well, we have time for one more two-minute share if there's someone that would like to take that who hasn't shared in the last few days.
I'm Rose from California. I would like to share.
Okay, Rose, go ahead from California. What's your initial, Rose?
L, as in Laura.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, share with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rose, compulsive overeater, and this is my first time ever at this meeting. And I'm not used to phone meetings, so it's really interesting. I'm used to Zoom or in person. And I just started with a new big book sponsor, and it's been great to slowly be considering opening the big book again. I love it. It's like the Bible to my religion, the way the big book is to all 12 steps, I believe, not just the food program. And I do have a couple other programs as a result of my son's addiction, but I didn't realize that I had addictions as well. And when I think about there is a solution, immediately I think of God. And so I love hearing higher power today and everyone's different versions in the rooms. No one has to have my version. But for me, the solution and the answer is always God. And I've been in programs since 2014, so it's not like I'm new. But I do feel like my relationship with God is new, and it's just improved so much compared to what I was raised with in religion. And what's been sticking out for me as like slogans for the week that has held me through and helped me regain my abstinence very imperfectly, I must say, especially with the holiday yesterday. But I was able to take my own food to a holiday gathering with the family and not touch a bite of anything they had. That is the first time in my life, and I'm 53. And I've been in programs since 2014. But the quotes that I was thinking of was, I was thinking, God is love, God is peace, God is joy. And the big book even says, God is everything or God is nothing. And then I heard somebody share in a meeting that if it's not of God, then it takes me away from God, which for me is the food and the body obsession. And thank you. And so I'm just really grateful to hear it reiterated in the room. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Rose L. from California, and thank you to everyone who shared. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Don. This is Penny L.C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I cannot find my big book. I set it down. Oh, my gosh.
We can have...
Okay, I got it. Yeah, thank you, Donna. I've got it.
Okay.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.